Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, I just had a wonderful lunch yesterday, you know, with Mark Downey, and just such an encourager and just a steadfast, you know, God has blessed his business, and he stood with us for many years, he and his wife Erin, and just to hear his hope for America and his willingness to do, you know, whatever it takes for our country.
Yes.
Right.
And it's just encouraging to hear, you know, godly men like that and men of integrity and businessmen who love God and love our country. And we just thank God for Mark Downey and other businessmen that are out here like that, that are saying, you know, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just do it. Let's put Joshua on the phone. Let's put him on the phone and everybody else put the phone down. You know, we don't need to hear from anybody but Joshua and Caleb, because if God said we can take the land,
that's right.
We can take the land.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? If George Washington did everything he did against all odds, with a ragtag army, with barefoot ragtag army, with a Congress that was so divided, with a currency was like 13 different currencies for 13 different little colonies in the colony, and a Congress that would refuse to even pay the soldiers for the work, you know, with an enlistment that was over months ago, and he convinced them to be able to fight for a cause that we're living in today. You know, he did this chop down the cherry tree stuff. It's like, where did that come from? Right. You know what I'm saying? This is an awesome dude. Horses were shot out from under him. Wow. He fought wars with Benedict Arnold, but Benedict Arnold couldn't decide which side he was on, and he eventually decided he was going to be on Great Britain's side.
That's right.
You know, and I just want to encourage you today, you know, Joshua, you know, pick up the phone, Joshua. Caleb, pick up the phone. You know, and nothing, and if you're not a Joshua or Caleb, just listen. Listen. Listen to his talk, because we believe that God can give us the land. That God can give us the land. There's something about believing God's report, that knowing that God is with you and Christ in you is the hope of glory. I mean, think about it, John. I mean, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And now talk about it. Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, think about it. George Washington, man, he was an awesome guy. You know, I love to look back and think back. And we did a great segment on him not too long ago on the radio program. But where all the adversities and all the things that he had to overcome just so that he can put this army together that was going to fight the greatest superpower at that time. Right. And you know, he had some times of testing and trials. And at one time, he's even contemplating, did I even do the right thing? I'm a rich plantation owner. But he had to remember what his purpose was. He had to remember, for such a time as this. And there's nothing like great encouragement when you're facing, you know, huge task and an uphill battle.
Well, you think of, you know, that, you know, I'm going to encourage you this morning that, you know, there's been, you know, some things spoken and taught that are not biblically correct. The reality is, you got to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. The mindset of saying everything's just going to be peachy king, and that, you know, there's great resource when you follow God and the Pharisees don't, that you don't lose your head and you don't get crucified and all these different things that people say. You know, the truth is that, you know, even David in the lineage of Jesus, you know, here he is trying to survive Saul. You know, he had to survive Saul, even to the point that he had to go live with the enemy. He had to go away from the very people he loved, the people that he killed giants to protect them, because of the jealousy involved in the heart of Saul, who was God's leader, was chosen by God, which God regretted the day that he ever made him, because he wouldn't abide with God,
right?
Mm-hmm. Made him king. And so, you know, David's at some point, David had to, when they were coming in fixing to kill David as he's running for his life from his brothers and his sisters, you know, he started scratching on the gate of a city and started foaming at the mouth. Acting like he's crazy. And somebody says, I don't know if this is God. If I got to go through all of this,
right?
It can't be God if I got to go through something.
That's
you
right.
know, and it's just like, come on, let's just do this thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, think about the pilgrims. Look at all the stuff that they went through. Mm-hmm. All the adversity just to believe, just to walk out what was their destiny in God. And there's something that says, you know, in the American mindset that if there's a struggle, if this is challenging, if this is hard, then it must not be God.
For this generation, you're right. That's exactly right.
And you know, many things in life come with a struggle. Many things, all the good things in life actually do. And it's once we come to the other side, we remember the price that was paid for. We appreciate it. But I think of the pilgrims, and I get so encouraged. We're planning a trip actually this weekend to see the monument to the forefathers, and to see and to experience all that those pilgrims went through. Just to know that they went through great persecution, met in underground areas just by candlelight, just so that they can read the Bible, because it was illegal. They were risking their lives, you know? Right. The fact that they got into a boat and were willing to leave their families behind just so they could catch up with them a year later.
Right.
And you think, wow. I think there was like 3 or 4 major occurrences that happened on this journey when they were coming to America that could have stopped anybody. The last one was when they were getting ready to come over. One of the ships sprung a leak, and so all the people they were wanting to come over at that point, this is like the last hurrah here. It's like, what are we going to do? And they made a decision that half of them were going to stay and the other half were going to go. But that could have caused anyone to say, you know what, maybe this is not it. Maybe we shouldn't go. How many signs do we need? How many signs should we stop? This is a clue. And it was, no, we're going to persevere, and we're going to do what God told us to do. And because they did, today we have an awesome, amazing, free country where we can worship God freely.
And I want to encourage you, you're right, I'll encourage you, you know, this morning that, you know, keep your job. Do what you have to do to keep your job. Don't just like, oh, well, it got a little rough, and they humbled me at the office, or they... You know, be grateful for your job. Realize a word that God had given me some time back ago. I think I talked about it yesterday, maybe. I don't know.
Right.
But about that there'll be a day that a CEO works at a Walmart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he'll be grateful that he's working there. Not that Walmart, working at Walmart is bad with the very fact, but a CEO is making 6 figures.
Mm-hmm.
And realize that if you fight to keep that job, don't compromise your God. You know, don't do that, but understand, you know, fight for something. You know, fight
right.
for your marriage, fight for your family, fight for the kingdom of God. You know, not physically fight, just, you know, fall to your knees, cry out to God, live a life that's worth imitating, that somebody can look at. If they looked at you, you could be a map on how to walk with God. You know what I'm saying? And not some chaotic, you know, spinning top that people can't grab a hold of, you know, just... It's time. It's time for us to rise up for this particular generation. I want to encourage you, you know, fight for what's right. You know, fight for what's right. And realize that we're, you know, don't be disempowered by the fact that we were wrong and then we got right with God. Therefore, because we were wrong, we can't talk about right. You have to understand that we're, the only good in us is God, and it's okay to say, God is right. It's okay to say this, but it causes you to present it when you understand the reality of that. It causes mm-hmm. you to be much more humble and just say, you know, I'm not lifting myself up as a standard here. I'm just saying that our only hope is God, and Jesus is our standard.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this nation's been blessed. And I want to encourage you. I just feel like this morning, you know, you need to hear, do what you gotta do to do what God's called you to do. You know, mm-hmm. so you're not, if you had to scratch at a gate and foam at a mouth to obey God, to eventually one day you're going to be king and look overseer of God's people, if you would have thought, well, this can't be God because I had to go act like a fool for a season to be able to survive it. I had to go live amongst the people who weren't living for God that can't be used for that, or all these different things. You could say, you know what? That was a journey of a king that God was preparing. That was a journey of a king that God was preparing for. Mm-hmm. To lead his people.
Right.
And when
right.
he got through that process and he got there, he says, I know why you've called me to be here. Mm-hmm. I know why I'm here is to protect your people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's things about these journeys that let us know, oh, I understand. I understand what God's wanting his people taken care of. And what the journey was with David was, God wanted to prepare a man that would look over his people and fight for them and protect them and keep them. And of all of that, he said, when he got there, he says, I know why you got me here, was to take care of your people. Now, Saul was trying to take care of himself. Mm-hmm. And David is taking care of God's people. And that's right. What we have today. Today we have a lot of leaders who are just thinking about themselves. You know, right. Why the whole earth is quaking. I meant why the Lord is shouting to us what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, right. Nobody can say he didn't tell us what's happening.
Right.
You know, why the church is just confused. They don't know what's right. The church has been taught things that doesn't, they don't even know what's right. You know, I was speaking recently to somebody that they were saying that the church, they're not being taught.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, things are being taught, but they're not being taught.
Right.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not being sure. taught, you know, the truths of God. And so when they're looking at things that seem simple, they're only simple to somebody who actually understood them and was taught them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so it's important that we've got to begin to rise up, you know, and just challenge the leaders that are listening today. You know, don't sell out to Jezebel. You know, don't sell out to Ahab and all of his fluster. You know, don't sell out. You know, do what you got to do to preach the truth. Realize that, led astray is led astray.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
led
That's
astray right. is, okay, somebody leads someone astray. That's one thing. But if they led that person astray, both of you are astray. The one that led you astray and you're astray.
Mm-hmm.
So you're both led astray. So, you know, you're responsible for you. You are responsible for you. You have to answer for yourself. No witnesses, no suspects at the throne of God.
Right.
You can't bring in before you and point to somebody that led you astray. You've got to hear the truth. You got to respond. You're accountable before right. God all by yourself. It was an That's organizational right. chart. If you thought about it, you know, God is, and he is, over all of us. And he put us under Jesus Christ. And imagine all of us report directly to Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We're all accountable directly to him. There's nobody between
no
you.
No blame game.
There's no blame game. You know, there's no, but look at my excuse. You know, there's no, you know, saying, hey, it was my priest that led me astray. It was my pastor that led me astray. It was my Sunday school teacher. It was my wife. It was my husband. I mean, if you read the word of God all the way from the time of the garden all the way through God's, you know, journey that he tells us about in the Bible, quite often people start blaming the ones that led them astray, but they were end up following the ones they were called to lead. That's when we make mistakes. When God's called us to lead, he didn't, you know, give, it's not the great suggestion, you know, I mean, you got called to lead, you have to lead. And mm-hmm. if all of a sudden you get fearful, you know, and all the one that you're supposed to lead begins to offer you suggestions, and believe me, the second heaven will work hard, which is Ephesians 6:12, when we talk about second heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they will do everything they can to try to stir that up and change that order. And by doing that, the second you're following that which you're called to lead, the end of that's not going to be good, because they don't have an anointing. They don't know where they're going.
That's right.
They're just following their flesh, and the enemy's messing with their flesh. And right. so it's like I always said this. If I'm going to follow anybody's flesh, I'm going to follow my own flesh.
Right.
You know Absolutely. What I'm saying? You know, if I'm going to follow flesh, I'm not going to follow your flesh.
That's right.
And if I'm going to follow it, I'm going to follow my own. But I'm going to choose not to follow my own. But I'll let you know up front, if I'm going to follow any flesh, it's not going to be your flesh. It's going to be my flesh. You know, but let's just don't follow. Let's follow God. And
That's
it's
right.
amazing how many people say, well, and there's a lot of people who love God who don't understand this, and they're not following their flesh, but they're following other people's flesh. And it's like, it's the same devil, you know. You
That's
can't
right.
follow someone else's flesh, deny your own, and think you're not going to end up in the same place that their flesh takes them. You're following the adversary when you follow the carnal sin nature. And you can't follow, and of course, they'll kick and scream and all that kind of stuff and threaten. But it's like, you know, I can't follow you to hell. Sorry, you know, I'm not going to leave God. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Do what you got to do. To do what God's called you to do. And if you move outside of all the false doctrines that you're hearing today and all the pretty stuff, and the kingdom of God is not a pretty thing. I mean, it's something that forceful men have to forcefully advance if it's going to do anything.
And be willing to stand alone. I mean, you're not always going to be popular when you're following God. You have to choose. You're going to be, you know, popular or powerful, but you can't be both, right? And you have to be willing to stand for the truth.
Right, right, exactly. And, but it's okay. I mean, when you realize you're doing it for an audience of one, because you're going to stand alone. I mean, think about it. If you know this now, how much more awesome is that going to be for you? Because you begin to live your life for your eternal reality. You begin to live in eternity today, realizing that I want to live my life in a way that is real, which is what I don't see, is where I'm going to be with God forever. Jesus is preparing a place for me. And so I'm going to live for him because I'm going to have to answer to him.
Right.
You know,
that's right.
We're going to answer to him alone. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Law, Liberty, Justice. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, my question was regarding this sanctity of life and abortion and partial birth abortion. What is a physician's stand when he performs abortions or she performs abortions, considering the fact that they took the Hippocratic Oath, which says they will do everything in their power to withhold and sanctify life?
You know, the fascinating aspect about that is I watched the testimony and participated in the trial in New York, and in that particular case, they don't really care about what their oath said. They believe that there's an unfettered, non-restricted right to abortion at any time during a pregnancy from the first month to the ninth. And they see no distinction between even the child who's outside of the womb and that abortion taking place versus one that's in the first month. They look at it all the same.
Visit us at aclj.org.
Man, it's just technology is so cool, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. I meant that our listeners now can go to the, what's it called, the Google Play Store for Android phones. So they can go to iTunes Store for the Apple phones and iPads, and they can download the VFN TV app, right? And they can take VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, including the highlights and all the wonderful things that are available to our listener and viewing audience right there on their phone, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can take it with you, and you could listen to programs that you, even our archives, for example, say if you miss a particular program and you wanted to catch it, or you did a search and you found out, you know, this is some things I want to listen to, because we're always talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, wisdom for the day,
right,
you know, and the perspective of things going on, and that you can do that. You can carry it with you with your application, with your iPod, iPhone, Android. Just go to your application store for your mobile device and look for VFN TV. That's V Victor, VFN TV. And then when it comes up, just download it and begin to listen, and you have everything available to you. It's just so cool. You can even listen to the live program right there. Now, I don't know if you know this, if you're listening now, because obviously you know it, Pat.
Right.
That, you know, once the live program is finished on Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time, immediately, within maybe 30 minutes or so, it begins to loop. So it'll play every 2 hours. It'll play throughout the day for 24 hours to meet every time zone or your schedule. You know, you might not be able to listen to it at that time frame, but it's available for you. So you can go to your app store, download the app. It's VFN TV, whether it's your iTunes store or whether it's your Android store, and begin to listen today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off. I think, you know, you're going to be, especially in the season ahead, you're going to, you know, your flesh is not going to be happy, you know, but your spirit man is going to be excited. And if you understand that, then you'll do what you got to do what God's called you to do. How many children appreciate parents who are willing to push through rough times to be able to parent them versus the other parents who weren't willing to do what you had to do to do what God's called them to do, and they just abandon their children?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's a whole lot easier to abandon them than to do what's right.
Yeah, up until the time of the throne room.
There's a reward at the end of it. There's a reward.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's like, that's how God feels about us. You know, when we stay steadfast in what God's called us to do, and you'd be surprised what you're going to have to go through some stuff. I think it was Charles Simpson talks about it, that, you know, that God will call you to do what he wants you to do. Then he'll take you through a struggle that makes you want to let go of what, this is a paraphrase, to let go of what he's called you to do. Because at the beginning, you're like, oh, this is great. I want to do this. I want to do this.
Right.
And then you have to wrestle with God. And then you have to go through this time of wrestling with him. Wrestling with him and understanding this tournament. And then and understanding that when you got to still want it, you got to still be holding on to it.
Right.
And most people, like, it's like a stick fight. I don't know if you ever seen in the military, they had a stick fighting where you had to, you know, you had a stick, a little short stick, and, you know, anyway, there's a stick fight. So you hold on to this little short stick and the other guy holds on the stick and then they just say, go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then whoever ends up with the stick in their hand, you know, you win. It's called stick fighting. And that's the way it is with God. You got to hold on. It's going to be a fight. Because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish this work so that you're complete and mature and not lacking anything. And it's just most people, it's just like the gospel that's been preached, nobody fights for anything. And it's like, you know, I appreciate people who fight for me. I appreciate people who care about me. Yeah, I appreciate people who fight for my family and fight for the church and fight for God. I appreciate that. They're precious people.
Yeah.
And there's many people who just said, I got a stick fight. I'm going to have to stick fight. I'm going to have to hold. And they're like, oh, that's not, I'm not going to do that. You just keep the stick. And they just give it over to Satan, immediately give it over because they're not willing to go through something for him. Listen, fight for what's right. It's time to fight, not physically fight, not fight like a physical warrior, but fight the good fight of faith, which means living a life in the light, living a life repented. Living a life, this is how you know when you're repented, when you can speak boldly. When you can boldly, you know, you have taken things to the cross and you are standing up rightly before the Lord and you can fight. But if until you're gonna seem wimpish until you deal with the sin. When you deal with the sin and then bring the transparency out, you know, and let people know the only good in you is God, you know, but that's good, then you can fight. Right. You can fight. So fight the good fight of faith. Do what you got to do what God's called you to do. Isn't that good, though, when you think about what David did to be able to do what he had to do? I mean, think about it, you know, and I'm looking forward to you talking to us about, you know, Mother Teresa and sharing, you know, what God has in your heart about that, is that, you know, even to the point when he had to make a, you know, as a kid, you'd play around and put under your covers, you'd make put pillows underneath your sheets and blankets to make it look like you were laying in bed, and you put like a basketball where your head's supposed to be, and then John would climb out the window. You know, David had to do that. David had he got word that the local religious leader was coming his way, and his wife, which happened to be the daughter of the one that was coming after him, Saul, you know, he said, man, they're going to kill you, dude. They're going to kill you. And he's like, you mean then when he was throwing spears at me, that was serious? I thought that was indigestion, you know. He's like, Jonathan, he's throwing spears. Well, I don't know. I know my dad. He wouldn't try to kill you or anything. Let's just wait and do again. Yeah, because he comes back and goes, I was wrong. He's trying to kill you. And so here he is, David he's making up, you know, his wife and him are making up in his bed to make it look like, I mean, this is King David. He's not putting a basketball, obviously, up under, making it like his head, but they put some stuff under the covers to make it look like David was in bed.
Right.
And he jumped out the window and ran for his life.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a God plan. It sounds like Paul being lowered out of a basket.
Yeah.
He's like, this couldn't be God. Why? You're making fake people under the covers and climbing out windows. Right?
Yeah.
But think about it. I see your brain just like a boom. Oh, my goodness. I need to make a fake man under the covers tonight. I mean, that's what David did. I mean, David did that. And then he ended up in this cave with no air conditioner in it. You know, yeah, and he's just trying to, he's running.
That'd be brutal for some.
That would be real brutal for Americans. And so he gets there, and he's just running for his life. I mean, he's just running for his life. And next thing you know, 300 broke, busted, disgusted, left-handed, government-hating individuals show up and say, can we live in your cave? I don't remember how many hundred it was. And then how many was it?
It was 200.
200. And he's like, three? Was it three? Oh, wow. Anyway, so then he... Pat's conflicting here. We're waiting for his...
I thought it was 200.
It's okay. It's okay.
I've been wrong before.
Pause and think.
Once.
Okay.
Once.
See law. And so with that, you know, these people show up and it's like, what are you doing in my cave? They're trying to kill me right here. I got fake people under my covers. I'm running out the window and you're coming. You're going to give me away. They're going to know where I'm at.
I'm panicking by myself here. Leave me alone.
Yeah. It's hot enough in this cave without you getting all close to me and stuff. You know, and they're like, yeah, I hate the government and all this taxation and all this kind of stuff. I mean, they were government hating, you know, people. Mm-hmm. They were just upset about everything. But you know what? All of that was God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of that was God's plan.
Right.
You know, that was God's plan because he was going to train up these left-handed, broke, busted, disgusted, you know, government-hated, you know, left-handed men
mm-hmm.
to be mighty men of valor.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to transform in this wilderness experience, and they were going to come out, and they were going to be so dedicated to David's leadership that when they got a chance to get some water, they went all the way in a place of because David loved Israel, mm-hmm. but the enemy kept David away from the people that he loved and that he right. fought for, and so they went and got water from the land and brought it to David, and these mighty men of valor did and said, listen, we just want to give you this water. And David was so moved by it, he said, I can't drink this water. So he just takes this water that remember in the beginning he was hiding under the covers and that all mm-hmm. this stuff was going on and these were broke, busted, left-handed, you know, government-hating individuals. Now they're warriors for God. And they bring this cold glass of water from Jerusalem back to him, and he just pours it out before the Lord as a drink offering. Isn't that beautiful?
Precious.
That's precious. But, you know, if we don't understand that, if we're not understand that's how actually things work, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, don't try to imitate that, but just realize, just hold on, that's the process.
That's right.
You know, don't try to imitate that. Just realize it's happening to you right now. And
isn't it always funny how those that are spectating always have a different perspective from the ones that are actually in it? It's like if you read that report and you're using that as a blueprint to follow God, you're going to miss it because it's often written from a perspective of just watching people on the front lines, you know what I'm saying, running for the battle to get a drink of water for David in the midst of all things flying.
Right.
But if you get David's perspective and the men's perspective who are in the struggle, in the battle, different story, isn't it?
You know, it's just critics. You know, that's what, you know, so many people today are critics and they just sit back and they go, I give them a 4. And somebody says, I give them an 8. And then they average out, they take out the high score and the low score and they say, okay, he'll be our shepherd.
Wow.
Right.
You know, that's how they do it. They just sit back and critique instead of realizing the Bible's written to you. Mm-hmm. You will answer to God alone for your life. And the enemies convinced you that they will answer for you and they won't answer for you. They want you can point all you want to, but you'll be standing there all alone, which makes you want to do what's right. It makes me think about what you're talking about. You know, years ago, Don and I went to a marriage seminar, big, huge gathering, maybe of a couple hundred people. And somebody asked us, they said, hey, to go. We went and they had this big video, this man that was talking about marriage. And they're all watching this video, this man talking about marriage, and you're going, this is okay, all right. And maybe like an hour or two in it, maybe, you know, I don't know how far down, I asked the question, I said, has this guy ever been married before? and somebody who actually recommended this said, oh no, he's never been married.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, dude, look at all y'all here. What are y'all doing? He's never been married. You know, I mean, you don't know. I mean, you just don't, until you've done it, you don't know. You just don't.
Have
I could
a clue.
Not believe it, you know. I couldn't believe people were listening to somebody who's never been married before, telling them how to be married. I mean, you know, I like what T.D. Jakes says, and I say it quite often, but it's true. You know, I don't trust a man who don't limp. You know, I can't listen to you if you have not been through it. You know, you're just a cheerleader for people that are going through it, but you're not that serious in the context of it because you can't take advice from, you're not the coach, you're a cheerleader, you know, right. Because until you've gone through it and you got the limps and all. I remember years ago, you know, when John was thinking about getting married. I mean, he read all the books and remember that? You had everything figured out.
I stopped by Pat's house. He gave me all the books.
All right.
Oh, he didn't read nothing.
About read squat.
He just said, this house is going to be, and then he learned, no, it ain't. right? Remember all that?
Remember that?
I mean, you had like two or three shelves full of how to be married and all that.
I remember.
Do you? And my bit is, you know, but it's once you go, once you get in, you don't get in the ministry. You just realize that you are in the ministry. You know,
that's right.
You don't.
Right.
I'm going full time to ministry. Where the heck have you been?
Where have you been?
Where have you been? You know, well, I've just been waiting for what? And so, exactly. You know,
we can go hours on that one. Perception on, I mean, just the perception of what right. that means. The everyday right. church, they're thinking, you know, job benefits, or thinking right. all this. I was like, wait a minute, where's your service to God?
You know, and people are, what they're doing is they're looking at, you know, a few men and saying, trying to change them and what they know personally they're supposed to be, instead right. of them being the change that they want to see. They keep mm-hmm. on trying to say, hey, you know, my whatever needs to, I've been trying to get him or get her to do such and such, and they won't do it, and they won't do it. It's like, dude, if you know to do it, do it. That's God mm-hmm. speaking to you. Obviously, if they're not going to do what God said, you know, they're not your fault. They're their fault. You need to get busy and do what God's called you to do.
That's
you know what
right.
I'm saying? Be the change that you want to see. But yeah, in regards to, unless you've gone through it, unless you've gotten into it, and there's nothing more precious than people that are on the front lines, loving God's people, loving others and leading others to do the same. They're beautiful people. They're beautiful mm-hmm. people because they are consistently staying there and being faithful, even to the those that aren't faithful. They're being faithful in the eyes of the Lord, saying, you know, that you matter to God and you matter to me. And those are just precious people. Ever how many that they're shepherding, they're just precious, precious people.
You scrub a pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today in one of our two locations to better serve your needs, in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Jesus said, you know them by their fruit. That's the only way we can really tell who we really are. And then he even tells us, apart from abiding in him, we can't even bear that fruit. Listen to Francis Chan, the author of Crazy Love and leader of and founder of Multiply Movement, share this exact thing. We are known by our fruit.
You know, the fruit will show. You know, if the tree's for real, it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah.
You'll see the action, but we want to make those statements, and we're not following up, and we're deceiving ourselves. I was thinking about this the other day, you know, how James talks about how we can be hearers of the word but not doers, and so we're deceiving ourselves because we're listening and amen, 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 but we're not doing it. And you know, Satan is the father of lies. He loves deception. He loves to deceive people. But I think in a lot of ways, he's very happy with what he sees in a lot of gatherings, because they're like, I don't even need to work there. They're deceiving themselves. They're going there, you know, hearing a message, amening it, and not doing it. They're deceiving themselves. I think Satan's actually very pleased. I want to be careful with it. I mean, based on what I see in Scripture, I think there are times when he's pleased that the Word of God is preached and not obeyed, and that deception is going on, because that's his MO. That's what he loves to do. He loves to deceive. And so if there's a bunch of people thinking they're following God because they're going, oh, yeah, I heard it. Oh, I heard a really tough message by David Platt the other day. You know, I heard this. I got so convicted, I walked away. I even walked away sad. Me and my friends, we even cried. You know, it's just like this, we did it. And I really think the enemy is going, oh, this is great. This is great. They're not. When Jesus was about repent, like, let me see you turn. John the Baptist, repent. Let me see you turn. Peter, repent. You know, it's turn, turn, turn. And we're all about feel bad, make a grand statement. And I think Satan's actually pleased with that.
You're listening to Francis Chan, author of Crazy Love and Multiply Movement. You can find it at multiplymovement.com. Listen. You need to be fruitful. We are known by our fruit. It's going to be a fruit inspection time at the throne room of God, because it's not that we're not earning our salvation. The very fact that we are saved, we are fruitful. Listen, if you want to be fruitful today, begin to make this Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you haven't yet done that, go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a couple of our stories and how to do that. Then begin to abide with him and be his disciple. And we have a plan for you, a simple plan for you right now, free. Just go and request it at iabide.org. Iabide.org. Eternity weighs in the balance. Your eternity.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello. Well, you know, guys, I was reading in the Bible, reading God's Word, and I came across Romans 8:35, and I started thinking about God's amazing love. There's a shortage of a whole lot of stuff, but I'm going to tell you, there's not never a shortage of the love of God. And can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardships, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death or life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us, you, me, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I think God's stuck on you.
Yeah, I think?
I think God's stuck on you. I mean, when you think about the love of God, I mean, I think that's game changer. You know what I mean? And to know that his love is binding. He's saying, listen, this is my heart towards you. And no thing, and you know, no one's gonna come in between this.
Right?
For I am convinced. And Paul says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, he says, I love Paul. He says, we were under great pressure, far beyond even our ability to endure. I think I've come pretty close to that, right? So that we despaired even of life. This is Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Just because, right?
Yeah.
You're facing trials, troubles, difficulties, persecutions, famines, nakedness, dangerous sickness, right? Or even the sword, doesn't mean that God's mad at you.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. Paul found out, hey, listen, why did this happen? This happened so that we wouldn't rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. And that's something that we should never question. And that's God's love for us. I mean, something, talking about God's love, it's something that must be settled in our hearts. Because with every trial or difficulty, I mean, we can be tempted. Does God love me?
Right.
Does God love me? It's like the businessman we heard about. When his business is going good, it's like, woo, God loves me.
Right, right.
It's going bad. God don't love me. Like, come
on,
God
don't love
now.
Me anymore.
God's not, he's not temperamental like that. He's not up and down with you.
Mm-mm.
He loves you. He loves you. And there's so much lack of love today. I mean, the world is void of so much love. And oftentimes, you know, we're tempted to reduce God's love to man's love, to what we see of man. And mm-hmm. God's ways are not like our ways, right? His thoughts are not far above the way we're able to think. And we need to, you know, stop that temptation of boiling God down, right? Mm-hmm. Now, some of the questions people ask, you know, well, if God loved me, why would he do this? And to me, it's amazing how, you know, so much tragedy is attributed to God when something happens to some people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet it is these same people that don't give credit for all the blessings in their life. It's like God only gets the credit when all things fall apart.
All right,
like,
exactly.
God didn't do that to you. Mm-mm. I think you did that to yourself.
Yeah, right.
I think God didn't do that to you. And God gets blamed for all of this stuff. And is like, but yet all the blessings and all the wonderful things that the Lord's given us every single day, every moment of our life,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
The fact that our heart pumps 2,000 gallons of blood through our body a day, you know what I mean? A day, you know, and the things that we take for granted. Ask someone who's having heart surgery today, how precious is the heart that God gave us?
Right.
Someone who needs a heart transplant, how precious is a heart? But yeah, we just wax over.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's like a college, you know, radio program, right? Like, hey, you know, today's program is going to be. Now, this is the most exciting dude around. Right?
I know. What happened?
He gets up in the morning and he looks at his toothpaste and goes, I'm so excited. And then he rubs his hands together and he comes on the radio and is like, good morning. Good morning. Well, I just want to say
No comment. We'll just leave it there.
And no comment.
And he still won't say anything.
I was like, I don't know. Come back to us.
Come back, Sanguine.
Sanguine. Is what it is because the personality conference hasn't happened yet. Once he teaches it, then he can watch
then
it.
Then he wakes up.
Yeah, we're just waiting for him. We're figuring, you know, by the time we're like 1,000 years in heaven, you know, and it's like, we know already we're in heaven. We have the mind of Christ. And I was like, we got it. You're a Sanguine. Right. Do you remember the day that you found out you were a Sanguine? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You were in such deep denial that life was over your head.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really.
Remember? Mm-hmm. I thought I was melancholy.
Right, right. Oh, and only a Sanguine could convince himself of
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right. Only a Sanguine.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT. Light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
And I think about Paul and all the hardships that, I'm not Paul, Job, and all the hardships that Job faced. He didn't curse God. He didn't curse God. And as for the believer, I mean, we're going through a baptism of fire. You know, if trials and things like that happen, you know, those we should welcome trials as friends because, one, like Paul says, we can fully rely on God and not ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But also the baptisms of fire that we can go through is to help to bring all the impurities and stuff out of our heart and bring to surface. Now, Pat, I know that you don't need any of these baptisms of fire. You're sparkling gold, right?
Pure. Dude.
Well, for somebody else, like for me, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Well,
isn't this true? We're joking, right? But isn't this true?
Absolutely.
How important, you know, to have proper perspective. Uh-huh. Because you can really become so insecure in the love of God, mm-hmm. you know, and I'll tell you, once you settle that once in your heart for sure, how much God loves you, it's life changing.
Well, it's just like anything else in regards to God and his kingdom. It's just, you have to believe it by faith. I mean, I've said this before. It's just, you just got to settle it in your heart. It's, all right, God loves me. God loves me. God loves me. You know, and not be swayed by anytime something bad happens or things don't go your way. God doesn't love me, like you were saying earlier.
Right.
It's just, he loves you no matter what.
Yeah.
Even when you're wallowing in your pile of blood in your sin, he still loved you.
And that's something?
And that,
why
yeah.
were you
Where
sinners?
You were just a dirt bag. You know what I'm saying?
Just for me, Pat.
Right, right.
Right? Think about it.
Yeah.
While you were yet sinners, the word God tells us, Christ died for you.
That's right.
That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't choose to love some people and not others, mm-hmm. right? He doesn't fast forward your life and then choose to stop loving you at the point that you really messed up. Oh, we saw it. There it is. That's that moment. All right, he's off the love list.
Yep, he's gone.
She is off the love list. And listen, you need to listen to Who Does God Love? Go to VFNTV.com, select the torch. Put love in the search on the right-hand corner. And you got to listen to Who Does God Love? And we need this revelation. Mm-hmm. We need this revelation because, in fact, when he fast-forward and saw all of your mess-ups and all of your failures and everything that you did that was not pleasing to him, he still chose to love you. And that's really the highest form of love. Love is not just the ooey-gooey feeling. The highest form of love is a choice. It's a choice. And what makes his love so irresistible is that at times when we feel most unlovable, mm-hmm. and possibly everyone has left us and just flat out checked out,
yeah.
the Bible says in Proverbs that he is a friend. Proverbs 18:24, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. His love remains. His love is unshakable. His love is like a fountain that never stops flowing. It's amazing. He is God, and he changes not. He changes not. And so it's important to realize that, you know, he loves us, And hopefully maybe we might talk a little bit more about this in the extra hour. But there's two extremes when we talk about the love of God. Sometimes people get so caught up with the love of God where one extreme says, I don't know if God loves me. And then the other extreme is they say, well, God loves me. So that must mean that that's a license for me to do anything because he's not going to stop loving me.
All right.
This is true.
All right. He'll God's love you never... so much that he doesn't mind giving you a spanking every now and then.
So true.
You know what I'm saying?
So true. And that's it. God's love, you have two extremes. You have one extreme, people are questioning God's love all the time. Then you have another extreme where people say, well, God love, I know he loves me. But it doesn't mean, and so I can do anything because he loves me. It's like, no, that's a twisting of God's love. You hit the nail right on the head. God loves you enough that he's going to deal with you. And people often kind of get this confused. I mean, it's almost like, you know, like a parent. You love your child so much. You love your child so much. And a good parent, what can a child do that you would ever stop loving them? You're going to love them to the very end. Mm-hmm. But your child, you don't separate yourself from your child. Your child separates himself from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And God loves us enough to allow us to walk away.
Sure will.
When you think about the rich young ruler, I mean, he went down the list. I've done this.
Yep.
I've obeyed all these commandments. And Lord says, well, you know, There's you need to give you sell your possessions, give to the poor,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And yet he walked, and so he said, "Oh, this is too much." He yeah. said, "I'm out."
Right.
Paraphrase here. And Jesus loved him enough to let him walk away.
Sure did.
He didn't chase him down, right? Because true love allows for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God will let you choose him or not to choose him, but it's all going to be based on love. You know, God is stuck on you.
Mm-hmm.
And what shall separate you from the love of Christ? We talked about now hardships or troubles or persecutions or famines or nakedness. And the word of God goes on in Romans 8:37 to say a long list of, you know, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. We'll be able to separate you from the love of God, but there's two things that are not on this list. You know, God's love is not ever going to be apart from you. His heart is not going to stop being turned to you, but you can turn yourself away from God and sin.
Yeah.
And sin. Because you know what? We mentioned this at the end, you know, that just like a parent loves a child, you love your child. You'll love your child all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the love of the parent has for a child is just amazing. But yet and still, your child can choose to turn away and reject that love. But their rejection of that love doesn't stop the parent's love. No, the parent's going to continue to love no matter what. Good parent, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But a child can turn away and reject the love of God. They can put things in between. They can reject, the child can reject the parent's love, and we can reject God's love. And we saw that happen with the rich young ruler. He just simply walked off
mm-hmm.
and said, out.
Yeah, it's too hard for him.
Too hard for him. I want to tell you today that God is stuck on you. He loves you. The question is, are you stuck on God?
Mm-hmm.
And get everything and anything out of your life that would hinder love. You know, God has determined the exact time and place that we should live,
mm-hmm.
that we would reach out to him, even though he is not far, right?
Yeah.
He loves us. He loves us. And his desire is that you would respond to his love. Don't waste another minute. Don't allow another thing to come in between of his amazing love. And if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I'm not talking about knowing about him and of him and whether you've been to a a church meeting or a fellowship, and your grandmother knows God and you know of God and you went to Bible study as a child. And no, do you?
Yeah.
Do you personally know him? Do you abide with him? Is he your Savior and the Lord, the Master, the Ruler, the one in charge of your life, that every decision filters through Jesus Christ and who he is? Let me tell you, there's nothing more beautiful than to know him. And you can know him. You have to open yourself up. You have to accept him into your heart and be willing to leave a life of sin.
That's right.
And experience his love in a way that will literally rock your world.
Yeah.
Make that decision today. A few of us wrote our stories on how we encountered his love when we received him into our hearts. And you can read some of our stories. You can write everything, but you can read a good amount of them on meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
AB Mobile Mechanics. Fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps. On-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape, he'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an I something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker on the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says it's a witness to them letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?